This is a download from BFM 89.9, the business station.
Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Rich Bradbury, and welcome to Enterprise Biz Bytes. It's 12:05 on this Tuesday, the 2nd of March, and it's a little hazy outside. Arvind Yuvaraj, my co-host, and Christine Wong, my other co-host. These are not hazy today, are you guys?
No.
What?
Nah. I'm hazy.
See, yeah, that one might be a little bit hazy. We're going to be with you all the way through until around 1 o'clock this afternoon. Of course, we have an interesting question, perhaps controversial. We'd like you to chip in and let us know your thoughts on this. And that question is...
Should the COVID-19 vaccine be made compulsory for employees? Why or why not? Simple yes or no options.
We're calling it No Jab, No Job. Mm-hmm. That is the question of the day. If you'd like to get in touch, as usual, get us via WhatsApp, Twitter or Instagram. Instagram and Twitter are both at BFM Radio. And of course, WhatsApp is 018-789-8899. Mm. Now I am hazy. Mm-hmm. Mm. We should probably get on. Somebody else take it away.
Right. So essentially the reason why we're talking about No Jab, No Job today is because of an article on the BBC. So essentially in the UK, the debate is currently raging on whether companies can legally insist that incoming staff be vaccinated before being confirmed for employment. So the idea is... It may be legal for companies to insist on new staff being vaccinated as a condition of their employment. This is according to Robert Buckland, who is the UK's Justice Secretary. However, he did add that it was unlikely bosses could make existing workers have vaccines under their current contracts. Downing Street has said it would be discriminatory to order people to be vaccinated to keep their job. But some firms say they will not hire new staff who refuse to have the jab. In an interview with ITV, Mr. Buckland said that compelling new staff to be inoculated could in theory be possible if it was written into their contracts. However, employers would probably need to take legal action if existing staff refused such an order. So he mentioned it has to be the case because we're dealing with existing terms of contracts of employment, thousands of existing contracts. So the legality of like no jab, no job would depend very much on the terms of employment and the particular contract. Generally speaking, if there were contracts of employment existing now that make that approach lawful, he would be surprised. Mm. However, there are a few companies that have come out with statements saying that they will not accept new employees that have not been vaccinated. So, for example, London-based Pimlico Plumbers, tongue twister, is one company that has said it will not hire new staff who have refused the vaccination on non-medical grounds. Mm. Employment lawyers initially questioned the move, but the founder said that he had been advised it is legal. So he was quoted as saying, "We've obviously been talking to lawyers and they're very happy that we can add this proposal to any new workers that start with us once the vaccine is rolled out. We'll be using the new contracts 2 to 3 months from now. When people come along for a job with us, if they're not happy to sign that, that's their choice, but they won't be given a job."
Wow.
Yep. It's the same thing for a care home operator as well, Barchester Healthcare. They've also said that all new hires will be obliged to get the jab and have been quoted as saying, "With regards to our staff, we're doing all we can to reassure and encourage those who are a little more reticent to have the vaccination. And we're also ensuring that all new staff must have the vaccination if they medically can before starting work looking after our vulnerable residents and patients who are in our care." So, according to a legal director at law firm Lewis Silkin, his name is David Samuels, he said that there's nothing legally in place that stops a business from placing a no jab, no job clause in contracts for new hires. However, he did caution that employers would need to analyze each job role and evaluate health and safety risks before introducing such a clause. Failure to do so would make it possible to challenge a contract as being unfair or discriminatory if a claimant can prove they are exempt from having the vaccine for some reason or if they're unable to access it. There's also concerns, for example, that this policy might disproportionately affect younger people because, you know, we're last in line to get the jab. Mm. So it would be harder to justify, why they would not be able to get a job if they just haven't gotten the jab yet, for example. You know, you're sort of prioritizing people who would have at that point. So the Prime Minister's official spokesman has said that taking a vaccine is not mandatory. It would be discriminatory to force somebody to take one. But we were curious about bringing that whole discussion and debate locally.
Mm. Go on, Alf, you first.
I mean, I don't think they're forcing anyone to take anything, right? They're just saying that if you don't have a jab, then you don't get a job. They're not saying that you have to take the shot. They're just saying that if you don't take the shot, then we can't give you a job. So I guess there's so many things that stacked against people who just, for the fun of it, don't want to take the vaccine. It's free, so you're not paying for it. If you are getting someone to pay for the vaccine, then you have an excuse. You can't force someone to pay for something. The government is absorbing all the costs. So there's no, unless you're like medically certified that you cannot have the vaccine and you want a job in a company that requires you to have the vaccine, why aren't you taking it? So, you know, the dilemma for me, I guess for me, like personally, it's pretty simple. It's like, you know, if there is the available medication, then why are you not getting the medication? If you could.
Right. It is one of those debates, right? Mm. And I'm sure if and when this debate gets over to the US, there's going to be an awful lot of litigation, you know, about people being discriminated. For those people who choose not to have the vaccination for whatever, you know, we've all got friends who have decided for whatever reason they might not want to take the vaccination. Mm-hmm. That's their decision. Mm. You know, where I sit, I will be taking the vaccination, you know, because I feel it's the responsible thing to do. Mm-hmm. You know, I understand that people have legitimate concerns, but I think the way in which it's been discussed and the way in which we've been looking at the research and all of the people that are standing behind it, you know, if the Prime Minister of Singapore can have the jab, and if the Queen of England can have the jab, and if the Prime Minister, if the President of the US can have the jab, and all of these world leaders feel as though it's okay to have the jab, then I don't see why, you know, it's a very personal decision. I get it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, I don't think it's discriminatory to have this as a policy. Mm-hmm. I really don't. I'm backing up what you said, Arv, you know.
Yeah, yeah.
If you want that job, this is the policy you have to adhere to, mm-hmm. you know. And I think that's fair to say. They're putting it out there before you've got the job.
Yeah. I think, though, I will say that for younger people who are looking for a job and they can't, you know, get the vaccine yet because mm-hmm. they're in the last phase, that, like, you have to sort of take those sort of requirements into account. And also, like the article said, if for a medical reason you can't take the vaccine, that should also be taken into account, right?
And I'm sure it will be.
Yeah,
yeah, for
but
sure.
I think, you know, in the interest of public health, I can see why this would be, you know, something that you might require of your employees. But we'll see if it's actually feasible from an HR perspective later on when we hear from our expert. Mm.
Maybe there's a way to sort of go, like, give people like a 6-month grace period. So if you join a company and if, like you said, you're a fresh grad, you're last in line to get the vaccine, so your turn's not up yet. So the company gives you like a 6-month or 8-month period to go, like, look, when your turn is up, you have to go get the vaccine. Mm. So it's part of your acceptance into the company. Maybe that makes more sense than requiring young people below the ages of, let's say, 25 to have a vaccine.
And if possible, you know, you can sign up for that company and work from home for 6 months until you get the...
And then, like, show them proof later on.
If that's a possibility for that particular job that you're applying for. Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, we do have an expert coming online to speak with us very shortly. We're going to be asking you then, should the COVID-19 vaccine be made compulsory for employees? Why or why not? We have a poll over on Twitter and on Instagram. It's a simple yes or no. Let us know what you think. At BFM Radio for Twitter and Instagram. Join the discussion on WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Let's have updates when we come back after some music. The Darkness first. I Believe in a Thing Called Love here on BFM 89.9.
Billions from me. BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Welcome back to Enterprise BizBytes. My name is Rich Bradbury. I'm joined in the studio by
Arvind Yuvraj
and Christine Wong.
Over in the UK, there's a debate raging on whether companies can legally insist that incoming staff be vaccinated before being confirmed for employment. That's what we're discussing today. Bringing it local, should the COVID-19 vaccine be made compulsory for employees? Why or why not? Get us via WhatsApp, 018-789-8899. Take part in the polls on both Instagram and Twitter. They're both at BFM Radio. A quick update on the poll over on Twitter.
83% for yes and 17% for no.
Wow. Instagram, Chris.
And Instagram is at 82% for yes and 18% for no.
Okay, a couple of comments over here on WhatsApp. Lee CK has said no. Alvin Lam has said it should be compulsory and anti-vax should be charged as criminals.
Mm.
Strong.
Mm.
Chris,
wow.
I want to know, for the people who voted no, why no? Like, I'd like to know, like, a justification or some explanation of, you know, like, would you go into a place where the employees were not 100% vaccinated? You know, that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Okay, let us know what you think. What have we got on Instagram, Chris?
On Instagram, we have SI Ralph, who says, if the government can't push it, let their bosses tell them to take it. We'll see how the tone changes.
Interesting.
Neera Shani says, it's the Ministry of Health's responsibility to educate the public on the vaccine. Making it mandatory would, it gets cut off, but I think it's implied that making it mandatory sort of defeats the purpose of the education. Mm-hmm. Zan Hui says, yes, because this is how Singapore did. I did do a quick Google. The vaccine is not compulsory to take in Singapore. I don't know about the employment side of things, but it's not compulsory. And Chick X AI says it is for the greater good.
Yeah. Okay. So that's the question that we are asking you. We've got polls running. Please do take part in that poll. Of course, it's not just our opinion or your opinion. We wanted to get an expert's opinion on this. So we spoke with Deepa George. She's a managing consultant at the HR clinic for her take. Chris?
Yeah. So Deepa, thanks so much for being on the show with us today. From an HR perspective, right, is making vaccinations an employee requirement at a company even possible?
So we've been informed by the authorities and, you know, the government of Malaysia that taking this vaccine is a choice. It's clearly on a voluntary basis. People need to sign up, indicate their interest, and then, you know, await your turn based on the phased approach that the government has introduced. So by default, what that means is if not everybody is required to take it, because it is a voluntary practice, you can't then mandate that in the workplace. It is not going to achieve the entire 100%, right? It's voluntary. They're planning to achieve close to 70%. So that by itself excludes that opportunity to mandate it. And hopefully employers will do that, right? And not just change their policies to suit their own needs. Now, in the US, however, I understand this part of, 2010? That was as part of the pandemic preparedness plan. That was the EEOC Commission, the Equal Employment Opportunity Commission, that actually said you could make that a requirement for employees all to receive vaccinations because it ensures a safe and healthy workplace. So that's a different situation. But that being said, even if you wanted to use that in Malaysia in the future, now we're talking about it at the moment, right? Now, in the future, even if that changes, we need to take into account two groups at the very minimum. One would be the people with comorbidities or vulnerabilities or health conditions that exclude them from the vaccine, you know, allergies and any underlying health conditions. And then you have the group of people that may have certain beliefs or faith that also, you know, prevent them and don't allow them to participate in this. And we need to be able to respect that because we're sort of being progressive, right? We want to be a progressive nation that includes everybody. So I don't think that's something that will be coming anytime soon.
Mm-hmm. Deepa, how do you think a policy like this would affect the company's morale and reputation?
I guess it depends on what sort of value proposition and what sort of brand you want to associate yourself with, right? So there's no right or wrong. Now, there can be two schools of thought. What can be about, one can be a group that says you're responsible for your own safety and health. The government has recommended this as good practice. It's up to you whether you want to do it. But at the end of the day, it's still a matter of choice. And so we embrace everybody equally. You come in and join us. And so candidates can become employees. Now, it's not a question of employees. We've already said that we're not going to mandate this because if you're already employed at an organization, they can't suddenly change the rules in the middle of the, you know, employment period unless the government themselves mandate this as a requirement for the whole country. But there's a second group of companies that might say, you know what, our brand is going to be associated with ensuring everybody has an equally safe and healthy environment, and it is the company's responsibility. And therefore, they want to make this a mandated requirement in future. And so they might go on the premise that for the current population, that's fine. But going forward, all new hires, we'll make it a policy. Part of pre-employment medical checkup would be getting yourself vaccinated. That is a possibility. It's a matter of how the company wants to position themselves. If I were to hazard a guess, people will wait to see what happens. I'm not sure this is something a lot of companies will want to be the leader to mandate the requirement. They might be quite happy to wait for peer pressure and be a laggard in this particular practice of the industries.
And Deepa, do you think that a policy like this would be a disadvantage for younger people who are scheduled to be vaccinated later than the other demographics?
Yes, I guess by default, the younger generation will be impacted by this, because even if they choose to get the vaccine, they can't access it at this stage because they're not part of the plan. And this may exclude them from the opportunity at certain employers if and when it becomes a mandated requirement, right? So the government might not do it, but employers, as we mentioned earlier, could decide that in future they want to institute this as a requirement for future hires. So that being said, even internally, even existing employees, whether younger, older, doesn't matter what demographics, it is all a matter of choice. But you must understand there might be consequences to the choice. And that's an important point to note. If you're in a sales function, if you're in a regional or a global role, today it's fine. Everyone is equally working on an online platform and fine, and that works. And they might say, that's okay, you can continue doing that, you can do it online. But if it reduces the efficacy of your work because your other colleagues who've taken the vaccines can go and meet clients face-to-face versus you have chosen to, rightly so, to not take the vaccine, and that's within your right. But if it ends up affecting the efficacy of the work output, then we may have a problem, right? Because then you obviously can't perform to the level expected of the role compared to your other colleagues who are able to do it just because of a face-to-face. I'm not saying it's the right thing. I'm just saying it's the reality of what may happen in future.
Hmm. So Deepa, how do you think a policy like this would affect those who are legitimately exempted from being vaccinated?
Yeah, that's a tough one. And I guess there's two parts to that, right? The first one would be, how do you decide what is legitimately exempted? You know, what does that mean? And so for that reason, I guess the most common thing that people would accept would be medical. So if that's the case, I could think that, you know, similar to an organ donor, having a card that clearly identifies myself as an organ donor, willing, voluntary organ donor who's registered, then likewise, I need some sort of verification, identification that I am exempt from having taken the COVID vaccine, even though it's mandatory, because of, you know, reasons A, B, C. Which is most likely going to be health-related. So that's one. One is the identification. Second, how it would affect is obviously the consequences. Now, the consequences is, while you're allowed to not take the vaccine because of whatever reason, and most likely it'll be health, you have that identification. Now, what does that mean? It still, however, means that maybe within the country, for employment purposes, for entry into different premises or different events, you're not going to be as crippled. However, when it comes to perhaps overseas travel and so on, if it becomes a default requirement, I think it's going to be hard for these individuals to run away from that. So it might mean that they're going to be limited in terms of, you know, overseas holidays or participation in certain large-scale events that could in future include this as a requirement. That is, again, the harsh reality of the possibilities for these individuals.
Last question, Deepa. Do you think having employee requirements at all is a discriminatory policy, and why or why not?
I guess the plain, straightforward answer is yes, it is discriminatory, right? Because you're saying that if you don't have the vaccine, you can't be part of us. But honestly, aren't there so many other practices in place that we call differentiation, but in actual fact, it is discriminating one group for another? Qualifications are saying that you need to achieve a certain grade. It doesn't make the person a better person, it just makes the person better qualified. That's a certain form of discrimination, but in the spirit of differentiation, we call it, right? So likewise, over here, we are saying that if people are not vaccinated, you can't be part of our organization. All right, now, again, if that's a choice the company takes, and assuming the government hasn't mandated it, then the company needs to bear the consequences that you may not have your pickings of every single candidate out there, because some people may have very strong views on that. Likewise, there might be other companies that say, no, you don't have to be vaccinated, because we believe in everyone looking after, as I said earlier, their personal health is a private matter. Now, some candidates you might lose out because they will say, how can that not be the organization's responsibility? I really don't think either one way can win the entire group. And I really think that we'll be doing a wait and see approach on this. So a little bit of herd immunity when we talk about vaccine. Well, I think it might be a bit of herd mentality on how employers approach this.
Of course, that was Deepa George, the managing consultant at the HR clinic, on her take about this discussion that we're having. Should the COVID-19 vaccine be made compulsory for employees? Why or why not? We're running a poll on Instagram and Twitter. Numbers over on Twitter are
82.4% for yes and 17.6% for no.
While Christine checks on Instagram, I'll quickly do an update from WhatsApp. Noralina has said, I've registered and planning to take the vaccine. I don't think a company should make it mandatory when the government itself makes it optional. Although I prefer to know who is not vaccinated for precaution, but maybe that might open up discrimination to the employee. Mm. So maybe that's not a good idea as well. Ugh, luckily, I do not own any company. Over to Chris.
Yeah, so on Instagram, we have the poll still at 82% for yes and 18% for no. A couple responses as well. Let's see. Dong Chi wants us to achieve herd immunity, if not compulsory, at least have registration drives with incentives. Mm-hmm. Not a bad idea.
Makes sense.
Wonderful. We've got some messages coming up right now and some music from the Stray Cats with Baby Blue Eyes. In just a few minutes, Arv will be giving us an update from Bursa at break. And then when we come back, moving on to story number two, how Twitter have said it would apply warnings to tweets that contain misleading information about COVID-19 vaccines and implement a strike system of enforcement that could see users permanently banned for repeat violations. That's all coming up in just a few minutes here on Enterprise Biz Bytes, BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.